Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 52 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Chapman.
It has no recourse for the university to appeal in any shape, form, or fashion, so it allows the governor to be the judge and the jury.
State Representative Rocky Atkins says a Republican plan to reform the process for choosing the governing bodies of colleges and universities goes too far.
A Scioto County woman was murdered Monday night in the presence of three small children.
And mobile food vendors will soon be doing business in Moorhead.
In sports, Clemson has its first national college football championship in nearly four decades.
But Luke has the business news.
And rain with possible thunderstorms tonight, lows in the mid-40s. We'll have the complete forecast after this news.
A 25-year-old Wheelersburg woman was shot to death Monday night in the presence of three children, all under the age of eight. According to a press release from the Scioto County Sheriff's Office, the victim was Amber Pizet. Deputies say she was killed in a home on Pequay Road around 7 o'clock. A witness reportedly told police a man entered the house, several shots were fired, and then he drove away in a van. A short time later, deputies took 65-year-old Carl Hayden into custody. He was arrested at the Country Store in South Webster. Hayden is held in the Scioto County Jail in Portsmouth, charged with murder. Bond is set at $100,000.
Kentucky State Police in Moorhead are searching for a missing teenage girl. 16-year-old Angel Robinson of Wayne County was last seen at a residence in the city on Christmas Day. The KSP considers Robinson to be a runaway, but doesn't know if she left the home by herself or with something or someone else. Robinson is said to be white with the tattoo of a Browning symbol on her right shoulder and Eddie Jr. tattooed on her left leg. You're asked to call State Police at 606-784-4127 if you have any information regarding the girl's whereabouts.
An investigator working under Attorney General Andy Beshear was fired today. Haley Hansen has that story.
According to Attorney General Beshear's head of administrative services, David Wilbers, quote, demonstrated failures to be truthful show he cannot perform his job. Records from an internal investigation in reporting Wilbers' actions led to the dismissal of at least two criminal cases and an accusation of misconduct in another. Those dismissals prompted Governor Bevin to call Beshear's office an embarrassment. Wilbers' termination is effective immediately. I'm Haley Hansen.
Governor Bevin is accusing the American Civil Liberties Union with meddling in Kentucky's businesses with its lawsuit over two recently passed laws on abortion. The laws ban the termination of a pregnancy after 20 weeks and require a pregnant woman to view an ultrasound. The Republican chief executive has already signed both measures. Bevin says 80% of Kentuckians support them.
It's a shocker that the ACLU is suing someone. Unprecedented. We anticipated as much. That's what they do. It's what liberals always do when they don't like something. They sue. They run to the courts, hope to find some friendly voices and faces.
The abortion bills were approved by the Kentucky General Assembly last week.
The president of the Kentucky Senate has introduced legislation that would give the governor authority to remove members of university boards of regents or trustees, members of the Council on Post-Secondary Education, and the state school board if they're found to be operating in a dysfunctional manner. However, Republican Robert Stiver says it would also require Senate confirmation to all college and university governing boards. The Clay County lawmaker believes the bill would clearly spell out the governor's powers over such matters, issues which he believes are not very well defined right now.
Making clarity within the removal statutes and putting Senate confirmation in for all universities. It will bring clarity to the statutes as to what the governor's authority is for removal of boards, board members, for cause, and for improper appointment.
Stivers discussed the proposal in a meeting Monday with reporters in Frankfort.
State Representative Rocky Atkins of Moorhead says he has serious concerns about granting a governor authority to remove members of college and university governing boards. The Democrat and House Minority Leader worries that approval of such a law would affect accreditation from the Southern Association of State Colleges and Universities. He spoke Monday on KET's Kentucky Tonight.
I think if this bill would pass as written, and I'm speaking for a university in my district, Morehead State University, if this bill would pass as written, it's my opinion that the accreditation of every university in Kentucky would be at jeopardy. And I'm fully convinced of that, of my interpretation with my general counsel in my office as we studied this bill as it was read today.
Adkins says the proposal, known as Senate Bill 107, would set up Kentucky's governor as judge and jury over the Commonwealth's higher education system.
The group charged with leading the effort to find a replacement for retiring Morehead State University President Wayne Andrews meets tomorrow. Board of Regents member Wayne Martin is chairman of the MSU Presidential Search and Screening Advisory Committee. He says the panel will use its time tomorrow to review information gathered on the 10 remaining candidates for the post and decide which ones should be brought in for off-campus interviews in the coming weeks.
At that point, the committee will then determine how many finalists to recommend to the Board of Regents. The search committee's work would essentially be completed, and then the entire Board of Regents would move forward with the process at that point.
The names of 3 to 4 finalists for the top post will be given to the school's Board of Regents. The regents are expected to choose a successor to Wayne Andrews by the end of March.
Morehead's mayor is applauding the efforts of the city's Public Works Department during last week's winter storm. According to Jim Tom Trent, the 18 employees assigned to clear the town's streets and roads of snow and ice are generally veterans of such situations, and they always handle that duty effectively.
They do a good job of getting it off there, and they don't just go through once. I mean, they continue to go through, trying to, especially if the snow is continuing to fall, or if it's an area where you have a lot of black ice and those type of things. And they do a great job.
Trent says the Rowan County Road Department and the State Transportation Cabinet also deserve a lot of credit for their snow removal efforts around Morehead.
Rowan is among 25 counties in Kentucky to receive a state grant for the cleanup of illegal dumps. The award was announced by Energy and Environment Secretary Charles Snavely. He says more than $1 million are being distributed statewide. Snavely notes, as part of the program, counties must agree to match 25% of the grant amount. However, the cabinet may waive the match requirement on any individual dump site costing more than $50,000 to remediate. Other counties in the region that will be receiving grants include Breathitt, McGoffin, Owsley, and Wolfe.
The Greenham County Health Department will hold a special meeting on Thursday, January 12th, that will feature a special statewide broadcast from Frankfort. Chris Crum, director of the Greenham County Health Department and member of the board of the Kentucky Health Departments Association, says the broadcast will explain Kentucky Public Health 3.0. Kentucky Public Health 3.0 is the new legislative task that the KHDA will be focused on in 2017.
We kind of want to make sure that every health department across the state is on the same page as far as, you know, what we want to accomplish as far as public health goes throughout the state.
The meeting will also touch on the subjects of public health accreditation requirements, accountability measures, credentialing for public health leaders, creating a true statewide data exchange of public health info, and could possibly modify public health funding methodology.
The final and official figures have not yet been tallied, but Boyd County Coroner Mark Hammond says it looks like fatal drug overdoses increased in 2016 compared to the previous year. Hammond spoke with WSAZ. He says there were 29 known fatalities last year, up from 21.
A lot of people that I've talked to said, well, that's not bad. You know, it's 9 people. It's just a number. You're going up 9 deaths. Well, it is a big difference. It puts it in perspective of how many people we lose. And when we're looking at that, it's a drastic number.
Hammond tells the Huntington Station the official total for 2016 may increase because some toxicology reports have not yet been processed.
New dining options are hitting the road to Morehead. City Council gave final approval last night to an ordinance allowing mobile food units. Jerry Hart is one of the vendors preparing to set up shop. He started the Rise and Roll Brick Oven Company with his wife, Susan. Hart says they'll offer ciabatta bread sandwiches, chicken with pesto, meatball subs, pizza, and roasted vegetables, all garnished with things like mozzarella, garlic, and hummus.
We're targeting April for the first few sales to do some test market stuff. We're looking at locations now, trying to find some businesses. We're not set up to park on the street. We've got a trailer with a big brick oven, and then we'll set up, you know, a tent or another trailer in front of it. So it's not like a traditional food truck that just pulls up and parks.
Parking compliance is one of the many regulations council members tweaked on Monday, along with standards for cleanliness and a limit of 5 consecutive days in one location. The ordinance lets mobile food units peddle their fare on Moorhead streets, parking lots, and private property between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m.
Moorhead City employees are getting a raise. City Council last night gave unanimous approval to a 25-cent per hour increase. The hike was suggested by Councilman Mike Cash in his first meeting since he was elected in November. Councilwoman Beth Ousley says the last raise given to city employees was a couple of years ago, and it was 30 cents an hour.
We elected to go with a 25-cent raise as of right now till the end of this year instead of a 50-cent raise because, you know, once we give that raise, it continues on and we build on it. It's not something that we can take away. So we're going with a 25-cent raise till the end of the fiscal year, and then we can look at it in the new budget as if we can give more.
Ousley says the 25-cent raise will cost the city $24,000.
A local county clerk says a proposal by Kentucky Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes to allow early voting in the Commonwealth would cause issues for her office. Grimes's plan would permit Kentuckians to cast their ballots during a 12- to 50-day window prior to Election Day. 37 other states already offer such programs. According to Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis, offering early voting would cost her office money, since a separate location for casting ballots would have to be set up, and two of her deputy clerks would be needed to oversee it.
If this was to pass, and if this was to be something that our legislators would want to enact, you know, we'd have to rethink the way we conduct voting here in our office. You know, we'd have to do some revising of the way we operate that particular part of the election process.
The state legislature could take up the early voting issue during this year's session. Davis says if the bill passes, her office will do whatever it takes to make it work.
A Kentucky congressman's bill to provide legal protection for sports medicine professionals who cross state lines working for their high school or university teams has been approved in the House. Republican Brett Guthrie's legislation is known as the Sports Medicine Licensure Clarity Act. He says it eliminates the need for those professionals to be licensed in multiple states.
Medical liability insurance does not cover costs for lawsuits related to care provided in states in which they are not licensed. It is not a reasonable solution to require practitioners to become licensed in every state where their teams will play during a given season.
Guthrie's bill passed with bipartisan support on a voice vote in the House on Monday.
A proposal by Kentucky's junior senator to gut the Affordable Care Act without adding nearly $10 trillion to the federal debt has been defeated in the Senate. Republican Rand Paul's measure was rejected Monday by a vote of 83-14. Paul says his plan would balance the budget by 2024 by putting the brakes on total spending.
Instead of allowing spending to grow at such a rate that we will add $9.7 trillion to the debt, we do something novel, something that I consider to be the conservative vision for our country. We actually freeze spending.
However, Paul says his proposal would allow spending to increase for certain programs, provided there are corresponding cuts to other parts of the budget. Taking a look at the forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, your weather is going to be mostly cloudy with an 80% chance of precipitation and lows around 42 degrees. Wednesday will be cloudy with highs around 56, chance of precipitation at 90%, with a low around 55 degrees. Thursday, the rain carries on into the day with a chance of rain at 80%, highs around 63 degrees with lows dropping into the upper 30s. Friday will be mostly cloudy with a 60% chance of precipitation, highs only reaching about 39 degrees and lows falling to about 34. Temperatures for the surrounding area include, it is currently 53 degrees in Ashland, 50 degrees in Flemingsburg, 51 in both Inez and Lexington, 51 degrees as well in Winchester, and it is currently 52 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
445, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio, and it is great to have your company on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, a new report shows Kentucky's women are facing a dire economic situation. Greg Stottlemyer has details.
A higher percentage of Kentucky women face dire economic straits than in most parts of the country, according to research on the status of women. The report from the Institute for Women's Policy Research gives Kentucky a D- on poverty and opportunity. The study finds the number of Kentucky women living below the federal poverty level has risen over the last decade, reaching almost 19% in 2015. Report co-author Julie Anderson says paying women the same as men for comparable work and hours would pull more than half of those women out of poverty and have a ripple effect on the entire state.
So the wage gap is obviously a drain on individual women, but a huge drain on the state economy and public assistance programs. And so that's a big, big policy lever that would have a huge impact.
Kentucky's minimum wage has been $7.25 an hour since 2009, and the legislature has repeatedly refused to raise it. Louisville and Lexington passed their own pay increases, but last fall, the Kentucky Supreme Court ruled cities don't have that authority. Anderson says providing paid sick days and family leave is another policy that would make a big difference to Kentucky women, as they typically shoulder the responsibility when family illnesses or emergencies arise.
It's women who will back out of the labor force, and that's very, very difficult to recover from. But paid sick days and paid family leaves for support families in keeping multiple earners in the workplace and not dropping out because of that impossible bind.
According to the report, Kentucky women who work full-time year-round earn 78 cents on the dollar compared with similarly employed men. I'm Greg Stottlemyer reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
447, you're in tune with Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon in Chuck Ass Sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg, presenting the Steep Canyon Rangers in concert with special guest Tyler Childers, 7:30 p.m., Friday, February 3rd. The featured touring band for Steve Martin and Grammy Award winners for Best Bluegrass Album, the Steep Canyon Rangers blend high-energy bluegrass music with Americana mountain music. Steep Canyon Rangers with special guest Tyler Childers, 7:30 p.m. on Friday, February 3rd at the Mountain Arts Center. Tickets and information online, Facebook, or 606-889-9125.
What a game! Good afternoon from Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chuck Meraz reporting. College football fans are still buzzing about last night's national championship game in Tampa. Deshaun Watson's two-yard touchdown pass to Hunter Renfrow with just 1 second to play capped Clemson's rally from a 14-0 first-half hole as the Tigers beat Alabama 35-31. The victory for Coach Dabo Swinney's squad gave the Tigers their first national title since 1981.
I can't tell you how humbled I am, blessed, and so thankful to be a part of helping get Clemson back on top this moment. 35 years and doing something that a lot of people didn't think we could do.
Watson starred for Clemson, passing for 420 yards and three touchdowns. There were four lead changes in the fourth quarter of last night's seesaw affair, the result of which ended Alabama's 26-game winning streak. Well, as you'd expect, Clemson sits atop the final AP college football poll of the season. Alabama is second with Southern Cal, Washington, Oklahoma, and Ohio State rounding out the top six. Louisville ended up at number 21. 13 former players and coaches have been elected to the College Football Hall of Fame. Among those selected are ex-Tennessee quarterback Peyton Manning, former San Diego State running back Marshall Faulk, and legendary Florida coach Steve Spurrier. Ohio State All-American Curtis Samuel is giving up his final year of eligibility to enter the NFL draft. Samuel was the Buckeyes' best offensive player in 2016 while playing a hybrid receiver running back position. The junior had 1,636 yards from scrimmage and also scored 15 touchdowns. The Kentucky basketball team's in Nashville tonight at 7 for an SEC contest against Vanderbilt. Even though the Commodores have a new coach in Bryce Drew, UK mentor John Calipari says they're a typical Vandy team, focusing its offense around the three.
Got a lot of guys coming back, got a 7-foot shooting five-man. You know, have a couple other guys. One kid shooting like 70% or 67% from the three. Why don't we run? Maybe he wasn't doing it early, and he looked at it and said, you know what, we better just play, do the things they know. I think he's pretty smart.
Memorial Gymnasium has always been a tough place for UK to win in. The Cats lost to the Commodores there 74-62 at the end of last February. UK is 52-29 lifetime in that building. The Morehead State men's basketball team is gearing up for a big OVC contest. Senior guard Ronnie Beeman and the Eagles will be looking to make a statement Thursday night at 7 when they challenge perennial conference power Belmont at home.
Yeah, definitely one of the top teams in the conference, we would say. And, I mean, we've always been a big game for us and a big rivalry game, and it really tests our defense and stuff because they're really smart guys on their end. So this is a really good test for us.
MSU will be out to improve its 2-1 league worksheet. The Bruins are tied atop the OVC East with Tennessee Tech at 3-0. They're 9-4 overall. The Morehead State women's basketball team hopes to keep things rolling tomorrow night. They're scheduled to be in Nashville at 7 to face Tennessee State. Coach Greg Todd's Eagles will be looking to extend a 9-game winning streak and add to their 4-0 mark in the OVC.
We got a very good Tennessee State team on Wednesday, and we're blessed to be on a good roll, but every night's a battle.
While the Morehead women are 14-3 overall, TSU is 6-7 with a 1-2 league mark. The Rowland County boys basketball team's at home tonight at 7:30, taking on Menifee County. That game will start a busy stretch for the 10-4 Vikings. Coach Sean Thacker's team will play 7 games in the next 13 days.
At least we'll have, other than the back-to-back Thursday, Monday and Tuesday of next week, you know, we'll practice a day, play a day, practice a day, play a day, practice a day, get a day off, practice a day, and then play two. So, you know, hopefully, you know, the depth of our team should help us with that.
Menifee County will check into Cooper Gym tonight, the holders of a 3-10 mark. Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire is itching to get his team back on campus. He wants the Eagles started on their preseason preparations.
The first day we're allowed to do individual work is January 15th, and we'll do individual work for 2 weeks, and then start team practice. We start team practice 3 weeks to the day prior to opening day.
The MSU baseball team's first game is slated for February 17th at Jackson State. NL Cy Young Award winner Max Scherzer has an injured finger on his pitching hand and will miss the World Baseball Classic. The Washington Nationals say their star right-hander has a stress fracture in the knuckle of his right ring finger. Scherzer, though, is expected to take part in spring training, which will begin next month. Finally, in tennis, Maria Sharapova will return from her 15-month doping ban at a tournament in Germany in April. The 5-time Grand Slam titleist has been given a wild card entry into the event, which will be her first official competition since she tested positive for meldonium at last year's Australian Open. The 29-year-old Sharapova will be eligible to return on April 26th, the third day of main play draw. She's won the Stuttgart tourney 3 times. And that's a look at sports. Have a good night. For MSPR, I'm Chuck Meraz reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will host Belmont at 7 p.m. on Thursday and Tennessee State at 7:45 on Saturday. Women's basketball hosts Belmont at 5:30 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Stocks turned in another relatively lackluster performance during trading before eventually closing the day on a mixed note, and the major averages all closed on opposite sides of the unchanged line for the second consecutive session. The tech-heavy NASDAQ closed higher for the sixth straight time, climbing 20 points and finishing at a new record closing high of 55.51.82. The S&P 500 ended the day unchanged at 2269.9, and the Dow Industrials dropped 31.85, finishing at 19,855.53. The choppy trading came as traders seemed reluctant to make significant moves amid uncertainty about the near-term outlook. And traders also continued to keep an eye on the performance by the Dow, which climbed within striking distance of 20,000, but was once again unable to break through that key psychological level. Financial giants Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, and Wells Fargo are due to report quarterly results later this week, and many traders are looking forward to that, and also economic news that will come later in the week in the form of producer prices and retail sales. Among the individual stocks, shares of Pacific Continental moved sharply higher after the regional bank agreed to be acquired by Columbia Banking System for approximately $644 million. Valiant Pharmaceuticals posted a strong gain after announcing an agreement to sell several different brands to L'Oreal for approximately $1.3 billion in cash. And also shares of WD-40 came under pressure after the lubricant maker reported weaker than expected first quarter results. While many of the major sectors ended the day showing only modest moves, steel stock showed a substantial move to the upside as the New York Stock Exchange Arca Steel Index was up almost 5%. And Mitchell, Cliff Natural Resources, and Olympic Steel turned in some of the steel sector's best performances. Also, there was a lot of strength among airline stocks as the airline sector moved 2.4%, and the rebound by the index came after it ended the previous session at a one-month closing low. In overseas markets, markets across the Asia-Pacific region turned in a mixed performance as Japan's Nikkei index advanced by almost 1%, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng fell by almost 1%, and the major European markets all moved to the upside on the day, with the French CAC 40 index closing just above the unchanged line, and the German DAX index edged up 0.2%, while Britain's Financial Times index rose by 0.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Caterpillar and Home Depot, and the worst performers were Merck and ExxonMobil. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Illumina and Boston Scientific, and the worst performers were Williams Companies and Indo International. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 9 cents at 110.93, CSX up 43 cents at 37.42, AEP down 20 cents at 62.11, AK Steel up 73 cents at 11.05, and Marathon Petroleum was down 48 cents to finish at 48.98. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And here is a recap of the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. A wind advisory is in effect until 10 o'clock tonight. Tonight, a slight chance of thunderstorms, showers through the night, lows in the lower 40s. The chance of rain is 90%. Wednesday, it'll be cloudy with a chance of showers in the morning, then showers likely in the afternoon, highs in the upper 50s. The chance of rain is 70%. Wednesday night, cloudy with a 50% chance of showers, lows in the mid-50s. On Thursday, look for cloudy skies, a chance of showers in the morning, then showers likely in the afternoon, highs in the mid-60s, and the chance of rain on Thursday is 60%. Around the region, it is 53 degrees at Ashland, 50 in Flemingsburg, 51 in Inez, Lexington, and Winchester, and on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 52 degrees. And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Baraz, Paul Hitchcock, Arlo Barnett, Jacob Lindberg, Chaz Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. From the Kentucky News Network, Haley Hansen, and from the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Chapman and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.